Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another instance of the radio show Sex Talk, also known as Loveline. I am DJ Fresh Leatherman 5000, and tonight we are having one of our infrequent but very popular lifestyle shows where we're going to talk about the controversial and fascinating lifestyles of a Pittsburgh local person. And tonight we have our very special guest, Miss Pittsburgh Leather Girl 1998. Miss Pittsburgh Leather Girl 1998, also known as Jody. I just happened by pure coincidence to be in the North Side at a local bar, the Eagle, not to be confused with the Giant Eagle, and because I heard this contest was going on, and I saw this incredible pageant happen, and it was. The talent, the pageantry, the whole contest was so moving. I had to contact Miss Pittsburgh Leather Girl 1998 and have her tell her story on the air. So she's with us tonight, as well as numerous other people in the studio. I've got my co-host DJ.
I guess I can't pretend to be Pablo, but I'll just go. Well, hey, I haven't been Jeff in a while, so
DJ Jeff, and Pablo is on his way. I think he's been held up somewhere, and of course Jody, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
So I'd like to sort of for those few people in our audience who are not into the BDSM scene, I'd like to describe with your help what it was like at this pageant. It was really an incredible thing. I'd never seen anything quite like it. We were on the second floor of the Eagle, there was this. There was a stage, of course, and there was a panel of judges. And the structure of the pageant, I believe, are there was a talent section, a kind of personal message, kind of speech session.
Yeah, there's a fantasy element, and there's also a speech element to it. And earlier, which you didn't get to see, there was an interview.
And so how did this, so I'm actually curious about the interview part. How did that, what was that all about anyway? What were you?
Well, it was an interrogation fetishist's wet dream. No. Basically, you walked into this room and there were six scary leather people sitting behind this big table. And they kind of asked you very personal questions about your interest in leather and knowledge about different historical events and stuff like that.
Now, you were in this room alone, then you had no...
Right.
Were you in a, humiliated? Were you in chains? Were you
no, naked? No, not at all. It was more like a job interview, just with a leather theme.
That's incredible. So, and when you talk about history, do you mean sort of the history of the leather movement, as it were?
Right, the history of the leather community or, you know, certain current events that might be pertinent to the community.
So that's the part, during this pageant, I was actually kind of stunned because I wasn't aware that there was a leather community. I mean, I was actually struck during the pageant and afterwards how it seemed like there was this family, if you will. I mean, there was a lot of... Everyone knew each other, and there was a lot of support
right.
and love and so on. And there was actually a big part of the show was the discussion of this dedication of some kind of leather museum.
Yeah, so, there's something called the Leather Archives in Chicago, which is a group of people realized that if we didn't keep our own history of what it's like to be leather men and women, that nobody was going to do it for us. So they kind of bought a building and... They keep things about different leather clubs and artwork, fiction, different things. It's getting larger, and so I think it's really neat.
So are they on the? They must. I actually never leave my apartment. Are they on the web?
is this? I'm not sure actually if they're on the web yet.
Interesting. The other question that occurred to me during the show is why is there this intimate relationship between leather and the activities, the BDSM and why leather? I mean, leather is, you know,
right,
the skin of a cow, right? So why is that specifically so tied in with the rest of the stuff?
Well, in one way, I think leather is kind of more of a shorthand, that it means this big alphabet of different terms like SM, B&D, dominance and submission. If every time you wanted to talk about the subject, you had to go through all the acronyms, it would, you know, it would take you twice as long to say everything you wanted to say. So in one way, I do think it's a shorthand. On the other hand, I think a lot of people who are into things like S&M and fetishes and stuff have a leather fetish. I mean, I know before I even knew sort of about fetishes and stuff like that, that when I walked into a shoe store when I was like a little kid, I loved it. I loved the smell of being in the shoe store, you know.
Seriously.
And I don't know what it is. I certainly know some like some vegan S&M leather people who won't even touch leather per se, but they consider themselves part of the leather community.
Oh, that's incredible. So do they? So will they? Are they offended by other people with wearing? I mean, do they tolerate other uses of leather? Are there sort of the? Is there a soy subculture?
Substitute vinyl, perhaps?
Yes. Okay. Yes. In fact.
Oh. Okay, so that's very interesting. So you've been interested in this for a long time, so back to the show. I was actually sort of interested in your motivations for being a contestant on the show, but I also like to describe first the show in more detail for people who weren't there, unlike like myself, who I get tickets to actually most of Pittsburgh's alternative subcultures and events just because. People know I'm a nexus for that kind of thing. So after the private interrogation, which we did not see, there was the contestants were introduced, and to my shock, I actually knew two out of the three contestants from being on the show and just from being in the community and so on. And so I was actually totally amazed to see my friends out there competing in this incredible contest. And the most incredible part of the show was this fantasy element,
mm-hmm.
Where each of the contestants had to put on a scene, I guess, for the audience. Now, were there any parameters for the scene? Could it be anything you wanted, or was
it could be anything. It had to be less than 5 minutes in length. There are certain restrictions, like they didn't want you to bring a motorcycle or a live animal on stage.
Right.
But in general, it could be anything you wanted.
And I believe all three contestants played a submissive role, I think, if I remember right. Was
yes,
that intentional?
Yes, that's true.
Or,
well, I believe that two of the contestants, other than myself, are exclusively bottoms or submissives.
I see.
As you know, that's their role. I myself am a switch, but I'm more of a bottom or submissive, so I chose to do that as part of my fantasy.
And I'd actually, do you mind describing your fantasy in detail? Your fantasy was actually brilliant.
Thank you.
It was funny. It was arousing. It had the BDSM thing. It had humor. It had a whole. It was a whole microcosm of. It told a story that moved me.
I'm intrigued.
Do you mind describing?
Sure. Well, one thing that I really enjoy doing as a part of S&M is like role playing and like dressing up in costumes and uniforms and stuff like that. So my fantasy was that I was a housewife, and for that part of it, I dressed up kind of in like one of those really horrid, ugly things that like your grandmother would wear, like a real flowered button-down robe. And the UPS man came to the door with a package from Mr. S. And Mr. S is like a famous like leather toy store.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but was it indeed the UPS man or was it the UPS?
Well, it was a UPS Butch Dyke.
Okay.
Actually.
I wasn't sure whether it was intended to be a woman or a man or.
It was kind of like
ambiguous.
Ambiguously left open. I kind of say UPS man the way you say mailman, but, you know, the UPS person.
Okay.
So anyway, the package was damaged, and due to company policy, the UPS person had to open the package in front of me so we could make sure that it wasn't damaged in case I had to fill out a claim slip. And I kept arguing that, no, that's okay, that the package was fine the way it was.
That was great. I mean, you were obviously very uncomfortable, and you were like, no, I'll just take the package. I'll sign for it the way it is. That was really very funny.
But she insisted on opening it. And so she took out a knife and ripped open the box, and lo and behold, there's a whip in the box. So once she saw that there was a whip in my package, she knew the kind of person that I was, you know, that I was into this kinky kind of stuff. So she started backing me towards the couch and tore off my robe, and under that I was wearing like a leather corset and a little leather skirt, and started like threatening me with the knife, putting the knife to my throat, and then, let's see, flogged me and kind of like ground her hips against my ass, and then pulled me down to the ground, and I started to kind of kind of the idea, and so after that, after the person completed their delivery, I was kind of like lying on the floor, and then they asked me to sign for the package. And after I did that...
So signing for the package is sort of completing your humiliation.
Right, yeah. And so after that, I called Mr. S and asked them, I told him how much I had enjoyed the flogger that they had sent me, and asked them if they could send me another one and damage the package like I asked them to last time.
Well, that is totally fantastic. Now, you said Mr. S is actually a real-life purveyor of this kind of thing? Are they on the web?
Yes, I believe so.
So, MrS.com or something.
I don't know. I don't know the URL exactly, but if you search for Mr. S, you'll find her.
That's fantastic. So yeah, now it was really incredibly. It was great. It was a very amusing story. And of course, you know, you won. So did you write that yourself? Did you cook that up with your partner, or what was the genesis of this story?
I had been trying to think of what kind of things I could do on stage that would kind of give an idea of my fantasies, but not be like too difficult to do on stage. And I just came up with the idea somehow. I don't know.
The other two contestants, their fantasy elements were pretty different, I thought. I believe the other contestant, FSSW Francine, and I can't actually expand that acronym because none of those words are actually legal to say on the air, but FSSW Francine, and you can send us email if you want the expansion of the acronym. She and her partner had what I thought was sort of a darker fantasy. I don't remember all of the details, but it involved, I believe, her master threw out some kind of chew toy, and she had to go fetch it. With her teeth and return it to him as a dog might, and then at some point there was this very realistic and very disturbing scene to me personally where he appeared to be writing something in her back or carving something with a knife, and it was very realistic and very powerful. It was incredible, although as I said before, it was so intense I thought it might be real, and I'd have to save her.
First of all, I thought their scene was really hot. I mean, I love the way when he dragged her across the floor. It was very beautiful to watch, I thought. I mean, it's something definitely that she consented to, and you know, it was real. I mean, but there was nothing to really save her from, which, you know, maybe if you weren't accustomed to that sort of play, you might think that, but it was definitely consensual and something that she really, I'm sure, felt very empowered by and enjoyed doing.
And I think you're probably exactly right. And in fact, do you find that? I mean, I haven't actually had a lot of experience in this area, of course, and so, you know, I come with a lot of, you know, the burden of my societal paradigm, if you will. I mean, do you find that people, when you're at a play party, people still don't quite get it, and people still don't, even though they're seeing something that appears to be, you know, disturbing to them, I mean, I guess what you're saying, the bottom line is that the people who are the people who are actually involved in the scene are in it fully consensually, and they're having the time of their lives. They're loving it.
And right. I mean, to me, there's, you know, the difference between SM and abuse, and that difference is, did the people involved consent to what's happening? And the same activity could be consensual and could be great, or it could be not consensual and could be abusive, no matter if it's, you know, tickling or back scratching or cutting or whipping, you know. And yeah, I think there are some people who are very judgmental about sort of a level of play, like up until X is okay, but then when you go farther, that's abusive. I try not to be that way. I don't know if I always succeed, but...
I mean, it appears that indeed the consent issue is the key one, as long as you're not crazy and you're agreeing to have this done to you. It seems to me like it should be just fine. And actually, part of what I witnessed later was actually very interesting. I mean, when you are a bottom, you are experiencing a lot of pain, and you must. I mean, at the time, it must be agonizing. I mean, it must be really difficult. Although we'll get into this later. But this scene that I saw, this person was in a lot of pain, and clearly, it hurt. But at the same time, they loved it. And afterwards, they were so flushed with pleasure, and it was clearly an incredibly. I mean, I don't even have the words to describe it. Maybe you can describe it better.
Well, I mean, yes, I mean, it's painful in a certain way, but a lot of times that pain kind of gets converted in a way, sort of through endorphins, sort of like the way if you're a runner, you might get a runner's high by kind of going through a point which might be very unpleasant at first, but then you get to a stage of, like, really good feeling good. And it can be the same with, you know, receiving pain in the scene, that you can kind of get past that to a level of, like, I don't know, just flying.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I recall from a psychology course that I took that they recommended if you wanted to get your date to do whatever, that you should take him or her to a horror movie, because in fact getting adrenaline running and getting things like that actually heightened all types of arousal.
Right.
And that's, you know, I've had some experience with, you know, fairly light S&M type relationships, but, you know, just the pain was a stimulation that just heightened all arousal for my partner.
Yeah, I think that. That's a good description.
That is so incredible. I mean, that's probably the same things involved if you go mountain climbing or you know, you almost get mugged or something like that. I mean, I bet it's the same kind of that heightened arousal. You know, I'll have to use that. Maybe I'll threaten producer Kate later in the evening and see if I can finally get somewhere with her. So actually, I haven't yet mentioned, by the way, that our phone numbers are 268 WRCT if you're on campus, and country code 1, area code 412-621-9728 if you're off campus. Please call in. Also, check our website, which is at http://loveline.wrct.com. So actually, we'd like to quickly cover the third scenario if we can. That was actually, they were all very different. The third one was I thought, the most physically punishing of all of them. I mean, this contestant, I think, appeared to be taking some pretty heavy beatings, although, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, her partners really seemed to be putting some shoulder into it.
Yes, well, yeah, I think she did take a fairly hard flogging, you know, and... But again, I think you're, especially in that competition kind of thing, you're like so keyed up. I don't think, right. I know when I was getting flogged, it was my scene, I sort of like, I didn't feel any of the blows because I was like all hyper. Her scene was more of like it was a Sleeping Beauty theme where the Prince Charming, instead of kissing her, kind of introduced her to the joys of SM.
Right. Yeah, that was there was the Sleeping Beauty thing. There was some other imagery I didn't quite understand. There was some sort of cloaked ninja hiding in her bed or something like that. I didn't quite. Or was that?
That person was supposed to represent her dream state, that she was like dreaming during during this, so I guess it wasn't really happening. It was a dream.
I see. Wow. Yeah. Anyways, definitely a powerful evening for me, and indeed that your victory was incredible.
Wow.
What are your responsibilities as Miss Pittsburgh Leather Girl 1998? Did you have to visit hospitals?
The only official responsibility is that I have to ride in the gay pride parade as Miss Pittsburgh Leather.
This is the Pittsburgh Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
That's in June sometime? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm happy about because I get to ride in a car instead of walk like the past 2 years. But in addition, it kind of, I guess, entitles me to go to the International Ms. Leather competition, which is in July in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And also...
Oh, really?
If
That's
you want...
Incredible. I have no idea. So this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I hope to be able to kind of do some more of community outreach stuff and kind of help educate people about the leather community and SM and stuff.
So, how much you go about that? Is this, I suppose visiting the grammar schools?
Well, I think the adult community. I think the grammar schools maybe aren't ready for that.
Yeah, that's probably right. So it appears, actually, we do have a phone call. I don't know if our producer's ready to put the person on the air, but is the caller there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Ralph.
Ralph, welcome.
Hi, Ralph.
Welcome to the program.
Just got a couple things I want to say. One, I want to congratulate Jody for being awarded Ms. Leather Girl. I'm really glad for you.
Thank you.
And second, I've got the URL for Mr. S. Leather.
Oh, cool. Excellent, excellent. I knew one of our listeners would be able to connect with this. And so what is it?
That URL is http://www.mr-s-leather-fetters.com.
Okay, so I have two questions. Is the Mr. spelled out, M-I-S-T-E-R?
No, just M-R.
And what's that last word? Fetters?
Fetters. F-E-T-T-E-R-S.
Oh, fetters, that is some kind of word. That means, what does that mean?
It's metal restraints, basically.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
So one more time, it's Mr. S...
Leather Fetters. Mr. S. Leather Fetters.com.
Wow. Well, even though Mr. S. probably has an excellent selection, I think he needs some help.
URL decision.
Sorry, maybe I can do some consulting for Mr. S. later. Well, thank you, Ralph. And are you any relation to the Ralph that we've had on the show in the past?
I am he.
Excellent. So you yourself are no stranger to the BDSM community.
No, I'm not.
Were you at this show, the crowning of Ms. Pittsburgh Leather 1998?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't. I would have liked to have been.
Have you ever competed for there's a male version, I understand.
Yes, there is.
Mr. Pittsburgh Leather.
I have never competed for that.
Are you interested in that?
I'm not sure I'm ready to be out enough to handle the honor. And right now I'm not playing all that much, so it's not a good thing for me at this time.
Interesting. Well, I'm stunned. I have no questions for our caller. Thank you for calling. And if there are other comments that you have or questions, please proceed with them. Otherwise, we will.
Certainly. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. So you just alluded, Jody, to the fact that this is only the first step in your ascension to Miss Leather Universe.
Oh, yeah.
So the next thing, is this kind of national, or is it just an international competition?
It's just international, yeah.
All right, so you don't have to go through the whole intermediate state national?
No. I think that right now there is only one title in Pennsylvania. I don't think Philadelphia has a title.
Pittsburgh is the only?
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Deal Town, also Leather Town, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's incredible.
There is a leather community in Philadelphia, but for whatever reason, as far as I know, and I could be wrong, they don't have a contest right now.
There's no Miss Altoona leather in PA or Miss California PA?
It's not regulated. I mean, there could be, but places like that don't tend to have large enough leather communities to mount their own contests.
So there can be kind of some. I remember there was a large and active and fairly visible leather community in Louisville, Kentucky, of all places. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, you might actually be fighting with those people in Atlanta. I'm actually totally fascinated by this Atlanta thing. I think I want to go. Can I still get tickets or whatever? I mean,
yeah.
When is this thing?
I unfortunately don't know the exact date. But I can.
Late in the summer or something? Or
it's in July. I don't have the exact date.
That is so. I'm there. We might have to do a live broadcast from Atlanta on that day, because that sounds totally fantastic. So, so you got your sash, and you had this fantastic experience. There was no singing. I was a little bit disappointed about
well,
that. Actually,
no. If you heard me sing, you wouldn't be disappointed about that.
Well, maybe your singing is a kind of punishment. I believe we actually have another caller that we'd like to put on the air. Welcome, caller.
Yes. Hello there.
Hello.
I was wondering about the Miss Leather crowning video. Is that on video?
Video.
It is on video. It hasn't been converted to VHS yet, but
Well, I guess your own proprietary leather format. Is it just like embossed in the leather and some sort of?
It's carved. It's in Super 8, I think.
When I was there, I did see somebody taking a video of it, but I wasn't sure whether that was for people's private consumption or whether you would actually make that available to the general connoisseur.
It's 8mm.
So anyway, so if
that can be transferred, huh?
They're definitely.
Well, actually, my brother, who is a film student, is going to edit it together for us because we have two perspectives.
Oh, that's fantastic! You can do some kind of maybe make some kind of 3D model out of it. Put it on the website. So, I mean, is this something that you would actually make available to the public? Put it on the Mr. S page, for example?
Or the Loveline DVD.
Right, or our own.
I couldn't say. That would have to be discussed among all the people who participated in the contest.
All right. Okay, well, caller, is there anything else you're curious about? Are you yourself a leather aficionado?
Well, yeah, I am a big fan. From head to toe.
Seriously. So you're decked out from head to toe in leather. Are you into the various parts of the subculture, the BDSM or the?
Well, I'm not aware of these certain clubs or guilds or.
Really? So you just wear the leather clothing?
Yeah. Well, it was something I really partook upon myself.
Do you have a pony?
Well, that'd be nice.
but indeed you I'm just really curious actually. So you like the look and the feel of leather, I guess. And
yeah, the smell
to the fashion.
But not necessarily that you're not really exposed to the rest of the subculture. Does it so how about attracting mates? Do men or women? I mean, I'm not making any assumptions about your sexual orientation. Are they intrigued by this full-body leather suit that you wear? Or?
Well, I find it does attract a lot more attention than I may be aware of in the first place. But, hey, what the hell? This is America, right? So live it up. Right.
Exactly. This is America. And do you have any piercings or tattoos or other ornamental body?
I had some piercings, but I think the hole's closed.
I'm sorry, the piercings are what? So you have the piercings, but not the rings.
Yeah.
That's such a shame. I mean, surely you could hang something from your piercings, like.
Yeah, I was thinking about safety pins, but you know that's a little too.
That really is kind of 80s. I don't know if I would do safety pins, but.
Allergic reaction.
Yeah, that might be.
Maybe.
My part.
I hear the hip thing is dental floss. Actually, people loop that through their piercings.
Yeah.
It's hygienic and colorful.
I thought of that.
Minty even.
Oh my. Well, so anyways.
Some sort of ring.
Thank you for your fabulous contributions, and do check our website for Mr. S's website, and maybe this can open up a whole new world for you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling and for your comments.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Right.
Have a good night now.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, by the way, if you want to join in, our phone number is, as always, 268-WRCT and off-campus 621-9728. Jody, where were we? Oh, this Atlanta thing sounds totally fascinating. I have to go. I mean,
you want to be my boy?
Yes. Your whipping boy?
Someone to, you know, get press on my clothes.
I'm sort of hoping for the whipping boy.
Okay.
But I get plenty of that as a computer scientist. if you need some, do I get a discount if I'm your gopher? Like, you know, free shaving or whatever?
I think that I get a discount of my assistant. They get a cheaper price.
Ooh.
Although that would probably be the person who's the UPS.
Right. It would actually be more humiliating and therefore more exciting
if I were forced to pay full price.
Exactly. I should pay full price and then ride in coach. Pay full price and then give up my seat. So actually, the thing that was actually most incredible for me, getting back to the show, by the way, was what happened afterwards. That is, maybe you don't remember, but I was surprised. But your partner invited me to a party at your house later that evening after the show.
Right.
Some of the contestants were there, I think. And
at different points in the evening, yeah.
And other members of the Pittsburgh leather community were there. And actually, we have another caller, and so I'd like to welcome the caller to the air. Hello.
Hi, Corey.
Yeah. Yes. DJ Leatherman 5000. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jody.
Hi, Francine.
The competition's July 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Thank you. See, you should have won, not me.
This is the big competition in Atlanta.
Yes.
So, Francine, we're so happy that you called in. Maybe you can share a couple of your own thoughts and experiences about this show. Or maybe you just called to give us that information. I don't know.
I just called to give you that. No. About the competition or about?
Well, you know, how you felt during that scene and what inspired that particular choice of that talent show and so on.
What inspired our scene? We had to come up with something we could do in 5 minutes. That's the first difficulty of the competition.
Right.
You're not used to doing a scene in 5 minutes. You're not used to even starting a scene in 5 minutes. I think one of the commonalities all three of us had, and I just heard Jody say it, is after it was over, we didn't feel how intense it was. We lost the feeling, I guess because of the audience being live.
Yeah.
I had no idea my back was cut at all afterwards. As a matter of fact, when we walked off the stage, I kind of was a little unsubby and kind of yelling at my master, saying, "Why didn't you cut me?" And didn't realize I was cut till later.
Wow, that's incredible. Are you even allowed to do that? Is that role reversal, or is that...
That's called nerves acting up. I don't know.
That's incredible. And so, actually, I've been... what was being written on your back? I've always wanted to
Would
know.
Would you like a picture of it?
Eventually, you know, something we can put on the website would be good. But I thought your master was writing his name, perhaps, or property of so-and-so.
No, it was the word slut.
Oh, really? Oh, my.
Can I say that on the air?
I don't know.
I think I just did.
Yes, we've just been informed that I believe that's an acceptable word on the air.
Oh.
Wow, that actually is a powerful and sort of degrading image. That's
very
incredible. So are you glad you did it?
Sure.
I think it was. I think all three contestants did it. You know, were fantastic, and I was personally stunned being in the audience, seeing these things happen. I mean, maybe as you said, they were very brief, very nerve-wracking, and I'm sure not very pleasurable for you. But they were all incredible.
Incredibly pleasurable.
Yeah, it was pleasurable, but I think the pain wasn't as much as it might have been in another circumstance for me. Yeah. I don't know about you, Francine.
I think the most nerve-wracking part was the interview.
Yeah,
the day,
definitely.
Really, even though we were prepared for it and given some questions to look at ahead of time, we didn't know what we were walking into. So that was the most nerve-wracking part.
This is a question sort of for both of you. Were there questions that you didn't know how to answer or that you had trouble with, or what was the most horrible question in the private interview, since we didn't get to see that part?
They mostly asked questions off our applications. There was one question just to get to know you, if you can have three guests over for a dinner party, who would they be?
Yeah, that was the hardest question for me, because my mind sort of blanked on other people, and
right.
It's just like,
it's like the worst kind of college essay question
yeah.
ever. I can imagine that being sort of horrible. And do you remember what you answered? Do you want to share that, or is that just too personal?
Jody or me?
Yours are better. You.
I said Renoir, Mozart, and my master.
Ooh, that's nice. And Jody, what was your reaction? Who were your three?
Mine were my partner. We both went, oh, who do I live with someone, let's use that. No. My partner, Robert Heinlein, and Pat Califia.
Wow. Wow. So I think those are both fine answers, although the Heinlein thing is kind of disturbing, I guess. I have deducted points for that.
I happen to be reading a Heinlein book at the moment. Kind of strange coincidence.
So, anyway, so that's fabulous. So, I actually would like to, as I was doing before, I'd like to sort of segue into the after show party if I can. Is there any other information our callers need to know, Francine, about who they contact or where they get reservations for this thing, or?
International Miss Leather. Jody will probably be the first to know.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I don't have it on me.
All right. Well, if you're interested in going, check the Loveline website, and we'll you can send mail to us, and we'll get it to the appropriate parties. So I'd like to talk a little bit about this after show party, if I can. Francine, do you want to hang on and listen in, or do you want to return to the radio mode of? It's up to you. Oops, I think we may have lost Francine. I don't know.
No, I'm here.
Okay. So
we had to leave the party early.
Right. So Jody and her partner graciously invited me to their home, and at their home there was this kind of play party commencing. And I had heard about these things before because, of course, I've interviewed various people about play parties, but I actually never experienced one in person. And let me tell you, it was fantastic. It was life-altering. And Jody and I have exchanged many emails since then about my reactions, and it was very exciting. I actually think that I may be Mr. Pittsburgh Leather 1999. It could well
All
happen.
Right.
I sense the beast arising in me. but your home is actually itself quite fascinating because you have numerous sort of fairly large implements, which I thought were pretty impressive. There was a kind of a sling. Mm-hmm. Which is I don't know if you want to describe that sort of a big swing that you...
Yeah, well, we have a, it's called a rack, which is, it's made of something called Unistrut, which is pretty neat in itself. And you can tie people to this rack in all different ways. And then in addition, hanging from that, we have a thing called a sling, which is basically, it's this big piece of fabric that you can kind of sit in and... in such a way as to hold your legs open for various activities.
And indeed, your ankles can be sort of tied up in this kind of...
Right, tied up or just held right.
...style exam. And so actually, that, so I got to do that. Nobody seemed willing to whip me, but I was actually in the sling for a while.
You had your pants on.
Swinging back. Is that... was that if,
how good.
If I had known it was just a matter of clothing, I would have... Anyway, next time for sure that I'm going to wear some sort of...
Usually you don't get whipped in the sling, of course.
Well, you know, whatever. I mean, next time I'll wear some Velcro clothing, I'll be ripped right off, and I'll submit to whatever. So, anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. So there's this... So there's this uniframe thing. I don't know what you'd have called it, the
Unistrut.
Unistrut. There's a sling, and there appeared to be manacles or something hanging from there as well that you could be attached to.
Right.
And indeed, at some point, I can remember this pretty vividly, your partner and you actually began some kind of scene there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's okay at a play party. There are definitely three different groups of people in a play party. There's maybe just two, the people in the scene and the people watching. And it appears to be okay for people just to watch and enjoy the scene just by looking at it, so long as they don't interfere. Is that generally true?
Yeah, I think that, at a good play party, the people watching actually add a kind of energy to the scene that can be very exciting for the people playing, and hopefully also for the people watching. It's just an issue of don't interfere in the people's scene, don't try and talk to them while they're playing in general.
And so in the scene, if you don't mind talking about it, you were in the sling, mm-hmm. kind of swinging back and forth, and your partner approached you and started, from what I remember, started kind of lightly slapping you a little bit, and maybe...
I think slapping my breasts and my face. I'm trying to remember exactly since I was a little bit of it at the time. Due to being so tired from the contest. And he pulled the metal around my neck and kind of briefly choked me with it, which I thought was very perverse and hot.
So was it, you looked at that as some kind of BDSM snafu, but was that intentional, or did he accidentally choke you?
Oh, no, that wasn't a snafu. That was on purpose.
Oh, okay.
That was, it was hot to me.
Okay.
Because I like that kind of play, and I guess the symbolism was funny to me.
It was a very artistic, a very lovely scene actually, because you have this fantastic hair, and your red hair was kind of hanging down from the sling, and you were kind of lying there very prone, and it was very exciting. I mean, it was very very pretty to see in this position, and then he started beating on your breasts, and less traditionally pretty, I suppose. but that hurts. I mean, women tell me that breasts are very, breasts are extremely sensitive, and so the kind of pounding, these kind of, I wouldn't, not really pounding, but sort of hitting with the backs of the hands, this kind of flipping motion was actually, seemed like it must have been kind of painful.
Yeah, it was painful, but it was also exciting. I mean, again, it kind of, it's sort of a cathartic feeling, first of all, I think, for me, after I've been in a situation with a lot of stress, to have, like, a lot of pounding kind of stuff done to me. And also, you know, it does build up the endorphins and kind of make you feel really good after a while.
And so this actually brought up another question I had, which, I could clearly enjoy seeing myself in that position, being in the sling, being beat on. I think I would enjoy that a lot, although I don't know if I'd enjoy the switch position so much. Does your partner get equal pleasure from... I mean, he was clearly doing all the work. you were clearly... I don't mean to say that there's an unfair amount of contribution there, but you were clearly enjoying yourself, and and it was clearly a lot of effort for your partner. So I was just wondering if does switching provide a way of providing equity and that kind of thing, or is it kind of like one person has to do the work and one person gets to enjoy it, or does the top actually enjoy being the top? Qua top.
I mean, I don't want to speak for my partner, but for myself, when I do switch, I enjoy both parts of it. When I'm the top, I get there's different parts of satisfaction for it. Like there's if you happen to be a sadist, you might enjoy that, just the feeling of being able to sort of do what you want to a consenting partner. You know, it's sexually exciting to kind of have someone at your mercy sometimes. It's visually stimulating to look at a person in that position. There's a lot of elements to it. And there's also a sense of competency, I think, that you might get as a top when you've mastered a certain skill or way of treating your bottom, that you just get a sense of satisfaction from being able to do something well.
Is there, I mean, for me anyway, often there's a pleasure in seeing somebody enjoying something so much.
Yes, right.
So, you know, I think that would be an important feature for a top.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, some people are just... That's definitely just how they're wired. They're only wired to be a top, and it just excites them to be a top.
Wow, so that's
just naturally.
That's indeed the kind of person I would have to hook up with. I think I'm wired to be humiliated. The thing that struck me at this party at your house was actually there was actually a pretty big amount of drama or. Theater to the whole thing. I mean, some of the scenes that I saw had really been thought out, or at least the people were very creative kind of actors,
right.
In a sense that I don't know if it had been planned out before, or if they're just good at improvisation. But there was this very vivid kind of scene involving a soldier being disciplined. There was a soldier, and there was kind of a colonel or something, a private and a colonel maybe, and I found that incredibly fascinating. I actually badly wanted to be the private. I don't know if you can sense a recurring theme in my comments tonight, but that was incredible. I mean, those people involved in that were very good at it, and so I can imagine them both enjoying it for their own purposes. But being in the audience, I can say it was just as thrilling watching that too.
That was a very exciting and hot scene, I think. Yeah, and I'm not sure whether people planned that in advance or did it on the spur of the moment. Yeah. I think both kinds of things happen.
Wow, and so I'd like to just touch on a couple of other things that I was the manacle to in your house. There was a board. There was this kind of flat piece of wood with sort of these screw eyelets. Or all around the edge, the perimeter of it, and what was that for? I was lying on this, and suddenly I was strapped down, unable to move, and I was waiting for the degradation to happen, but it never did.
Wow.
But
we hadn't really negotiated any degradation, so I was just kind of...
for future notice, I'm capable of infinite degradation.
The
stop word is more.
It's a bondage board, and we made it ourselves, actually. And it's just, it has like about 40 eye hooks that you can tie someone to in all different kinds of ways. And it's kind of neat. You can just kind of stretch someone out so they're completely helpless and webbed down to it. I think it's fun if you want to just experience total immobility. Although for you, we just kind of give you the sampler of just a tiny bit of immobility.
Right. And do you leave people there, or can you suspend them from the ceiling or spin them around?
You couldn't. Not with that piece of equipment, you couldn't suspend them from the ceiling. Actually, the rack that we have, you could suspend someone safely off the ground. With that, I don't generally think it's a good idea to leave someone kind of totally bound. and, like, leave them alone for any period of time. But you could, like, blindfold them and make them think that they've been left alone.
Right. So, I mean, some of the literature I've read, I mean, people do that. They're like, I'm tying you up now, and I'm going to leave for 8 hours.
Well, a lot of things that you read, though, it's more like, you know, something's very hot in fantasy, but in reality, you have to take precautions.
Well, that makes sense. So, and the other thing that I was actually intrigued by but did not get to experience at all was there was this kind of human-sized metal cage in another room. I was at no point was I locked in this cage, you know, left to eat only dog food and water. But, I mean, that could have happened, right?
So,
I mean, what are the potential uses for a device like that?
Well, I don't know what kind of dog it's intended for because, I mean, as you can attest, it's gigantic,
it's
right?
It's bigger than person size.
I mean, yeah.
It's comfortable. I mean, two people could.
Yeah, I mean, I can lay down, like, full length in it. And it's, you can be basically locked in that. And you could pretty much safely be locked in that, and the person who had locked you in it could go, you know, somewhere else in the house or whatever. Again, you probably shouldn't leave someone alone in the house because in case of a fire or something. And I've done some very hot interrogation scenes in that cage and stuff like that.
You were the interrogator or the interrogatee? Or
interrogatee.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow, and so what else? The other thing that was interesting about that night was that I wasn't really privy to this, but during these various scenes and while we were kind of munching on potato chips and so on, you'd occasionally hear these screams of pain and moaning from upstairs. I guess, people in a private scene? Or?
Yeah, there was a private, more sexual scene going on that the people involved had negotiated that they wanted to be more private. So that was, they had just asked if they could just use that room.
Wow. So the video of that is the one I'd like to see too, but I guess maybe.
No video taken, unfortunately.
Maybe that'll never happen. I mean, it's interesting because most of what I had seen was actually very pure in some sense, that it was mostly just the administration of various kinds of pain. But I saw less of kind of a combination of actual, you know, sex, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, that word doesn't even really mean anything. But, I mean, I suppose when you say it was more sexual, there's like actual genital manipulation along with the administration of pain or...
More very explicit long-term genital manipulation, I guess.
I see. Well, so... Anyway, it definitely changed my life and also the life of the person that I came with. I mean, I think everybody should experience this. I mean, I think it could be it could be what, you know, what America needs to bring us into the next millennium is for everyone to experience this. To experience this experience. Our producer's communicating something telepathically to me, and I'm not getting it. I still didn't get it.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
The station ID. I'm sorry. I was. Anyway, so sorry for that bit of awkwardness, but I haven't totally refined my psionic abilities. I'm only a level 4 telepath as it is. we're actually approximately out of time anyway, and so do you have any parting comments you'd like to share with our listeners? Do you have a message? Does Miss Pittsburgh Weather Girl 1998 have a theme that you wish to share with Pittsburgh and with the nation at large?
I don't know if I have a theme, but I want, you know, people to know more about leather people and know that we're pretty much the people next door, and everybody probably can understand a little bit of what it's about, you know, whether some people might go a lot further than others, but, you know, we're nice people and we're fun.
Definitely fun. And you throw great parties. And the bottom line, I think, the message is that it's clearly all consensual. There's no abuse. There's no abuse here. It's all about people relating and getting pleasure in their own unique way. So with that comment, I think I'm going to close for now. And I thank all of our fabulous listeners and callers. And if we've helped you just... If we've helped just one person bring out the little leather boy or girl inside them, then we've done our mission for the day. And so thank you all for listening, and have a great night.